Just want to honor the Lord for what he's going to do. So this morning, I want to try and continue where Andries has left off with talking about the passion of God. And I want to just maybe break it down for us and how to live in this kingdom that Andries explained to us. Your heart is going to be where your treasure is, and you're going to be either for the kingdom or without the kingdom. And I want to just take that further as children of God living in the kingdom. I want to just maybe break it down for us and just help us with the aspect of which is important in God's heart regarding living in the kingdom. So I'm going to talk to us this morning about living with childlikeness and why it's important for us as Christians. And like the word came out this morning, it's important for us because the time is running out, guys. I want to also just promo this now here, and please join us for the outreach in 2 weeks' time. The time is running out for many of these students as well, and God wants to reach them, and God wants to save them, amen? So please come and talk to me after the service. Mail me. Join us. It's going to be a great weekend together. We're just going to go out and do supernatural stuff with the Holy Spirit. Just meet them, trusting God to meet people where they're at and rescuing them in that moment. So this morning I want you to open your Bibles with me in Mark chapter 10. As you're going to start to read a portion of Scripture there. I hope you brought your Bible to church. It's on there on the screen as well. Okay, Mark chapter 10, it says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But his disciples told them not to bother him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very displeased with the disciples. And he said to them, let the children come to me and don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God. Then he took the children into his arms, place his hands on his head, and bless them. Now, guys, this portion of Scripture is very important for me, and I think it's very important for God as well, because this portion especially is repeated 3 times in all the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's funny that it's mainly positioned in the same story or the same parable each time after Jesus talks about marriage and divorce and before he talks about the rich young ruler. This portion where Jesus' heart is for children comes up 3 times in the Bible. And if you think about that, John says, and I think in chapter 21, he says, if I was write down all the things Jesus did, the world doesn't have enough books to contain all the stuff Jesus did. So if you think about this, if the things which are recorded in the Bible is only some of the things Jesus did, then this must be the essence, amen? Then this must really be the things God wants us to focus on. And then if he repeats it 3 times in the Gospels, it must be surely of some importance to us. Amen? And for me, that was quite shocking as I read the Bible in the Gospels. And I found, but listen to God, you're saying the same things a few times for me. So I said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And I believe, what are you trying to tell us as a church living in the kingdom of God? And from the Scripture, you can basically see that you find 2 different types of attitude that people can have towards children, okay? The one is where we have the attitude of the disciples, and the one is the attitude of Jesus, okay? And I think there is some truth in this, because the disciples have this attitude of listening, always stopping the kids running to Jesus and say, listen here, stop. Jesus is so busy, you're bothering him. Don't come now. But then there's the other side of Jesus' heart where he says, no, listen here, come, bring them unto me. I love children to be on my shoulders, to play with me, etc. So we get these 2 attitudes which is important to see from Scripture. And what is amazing to me in all the other Gospels, the book except Mark, this one verse is put in there like an emphasis. And it reads here in verse 14, you can go back on the slide. It says, Jesus was very displeased with his disciples. And he said to them, let the children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Guys, so Jesus is showing us here that he doesn't like us when we stop children, when we bother them, when we hinder them from coming unto him. And where this thing really hit home was over the last few months, the Lord has been dealing with me about childlikeness. And I realized that my faith wasn't as childlike as I thought it was. You know, I think as mature Christians, we can get so smart and religious that we can hijack the system of Christianity and appear to be childlike. We can sound so spiritual. But when I really looked into my heart and God is breaking down these things about childlikeness, I realized, Yaku, that my faith isn't so childlike, which I wanted it to be or sounded it to be. And that there was actually something that was hindering my childlikeness. And as I was preparing over this week, the Lord just took me into this thing, and he showed me the reason why the child within me was hindered. And basically what he showed me, that it all started years ago when my parents went through their divorce. And I was about 11, 12 years old, and they went through a massive divorce, and they're still enemies up to this day. And the funny thing is what happened there was, is even though I was a child at the moment they were divorced, at this very moment, childlikeness in me died. You see, the boy in me had to become a man. I had to step up to the plate of being the man now in this house where there was no father. And at that very moment of that divorce, that transition taking place, something in me died. And the Lord showed me, Yahweh, it was your childlikeness. And the problem with that was not so much the divorce. The problem with that is years later I got saved and I took that same attitude into my relationship with God. Now that was not good. And the thing which I struggled with, and I think most of us, or some of us also struggle with this, is even though I knew and I sing this song that I'm a child of God, somehow I still don't know how to live childlikeness, how to live with childlike faith. I can religiously sound like it and appear to be childlike, but really in my heart, I realize, Yaku, yes, man, when the techie hits the road, my faith is not childlike. I duck and I dive. And I thought, for me, the deception was, I thought I was childlike because I was a child of God. But my actions and my attitude showed differently. And that for me is was quite a thing. And the thing which helped me over the years to really get handles on this was to realize that there was a difference between being a child of God and being childlike. Faith. Amen? You guys understand where I'm going? So my battle was, yes, I got born again. Yes, I was a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, but still somehow I struggled to find out how to live childlike every single day. And when I realized that there was actually a difference, that's what helped me. And let me explain to you what I mean. Here in John 1, verse 11, Jesus says something amazing. He says, When he, Jesus, came to his own, that is us, when he came down to earth, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. What a wonderful scripture. And those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God, and not of man. So all those of us, in other words, who receive Jesus into our hearts, you are a child of God. Amen? That is what the biblical faith is all about. That's the good news of the gospel. When we receive Jesus, you become a child of God in that moment. And you receive the gift of eternal life. Wow. That's awesome. Now, this, now remember the difference. This speaks to us, and this is our positional reality within Christ. In other words, this is your new identity as a son and daughter of God. Amen? When you get born again, that is your new position. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're the son and daughter of God. You are royalty with God. You're called to reign with Him. You are co-heirs with Christ. Awesome, awesome, awesome things. But now the difference is with the childlikeness. Childlikeness is a bit different. It is more for me of like a new mindset or a spirit set, if I can call it that way. It's a new mindset that which we must adopt or take on or ask God to work in us to become childlike. So in other words, you can become a child of God in a moment of repentance and faith in Christ, but that doesn't guarantee us to become childlike within a moment. And that is what I realized in my life, that listening to Yaku, I've got the privilege of being part of God's family, of being a son in my father's house, but I learned over the years that I need to grow in a new mindset of childlikeness. Of taking that on and walking in that and growing in that. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, what that is all about. Now, just to stop the bus for a moment, remember childlikeness is not childishness. Okay, because I think sometimes we think that is the same. Childishness means to be babyish, to be fearful, to be foolish, to be silly, to be irresponsible, to be immature, to be gullible. It's things like when you just have outbursts of wrath and you just smash up the door at your house when you're angry with your wife. That's immaturity. That's childishness, man. Childlikeness, on the other hand, is defined as being like a child, as in simple, spontaneous, frankness, fun, trusting. It is having or showing the good qualities such as innocence and trust that a child often will have. And this is this new mindset of childliness, which I'm trusting God for to restore within our hearts. Because as we heard the word coming, God is coming back. And heaven is going to be one day full of people with childlike faith. Because God said, without it, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It is so crucial that our faith becomes childlike. And that's my heart this morning, to help you through this process. Now, before we start, I'm going to ask you, do you think Jesus had any of these qualities? I really believe so. I really believe, once again, that Jesus is our example in this. You see, Jesus is not the exception. He is the example for us to follow. And the reason I'm saying this is because Jesus, if you look at Scripture, children like to be around Jesus. And what I found out, kids like to be around people that are fun and childish. Amen? They will somehow, kids somehow know that they can run to somebody that's childish and jump on their backs, choke them, and play with them. Hey? Have a wrestle with them. Kids just know that spontaneous. And if we look at the gospel story, I see that the children always want to be close to Jesus. And he said, listen, don't stop them. Let them come to me. And Mark says that he picked them up. He laid his hands upon them and he blessed them. Isn't that a beautiful story? A beautiful example of somebody with a childlike heart? But somehow we have grown into this religious thing where we are so stuck up with hindering and stopping kids from being around Christ that we have lost the ability ourselves to be childlike in God's presence. Amen? Now, Matthew 18 is the first time when this appears in the Gospels. And it says something interesting. I just want to just throw this out for you to chew on in the week. A little bit of meat. It says, at the time the disciples, verse 1, came to Jesus asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So Jesus called the child to him and stand in front of them and said, I assure you that unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who humbles himself and becomes like a child. Now, the thing I want you to see here is that Jesus is saying two very important things here. The first one is, he says, listen, if you want to be great, you must become childlike. And for me, it's so funny that the disciples being around the Messiah all their lives, the Son of God, they still had the fight. And they said, who is the greatest? Peter, is it you? No, it's John, is it you? They had this competition amongst themselves and this drive to become great. But it's important to see that Jesus never told them that to attain greatness is not of God. He told us the way to get to greatness, that's more important. You see, greatness is grown in the seedbed of childlikeness and humility. Verse 4 says there, look at it, he says, the greatest in the kingdom will be the one who humbles himself and become like a child. Greatness is grown in the seedbed of childlikeness and humility. But the second thing I want to just pause for a moment on, is he said there, a very important thing is, he says, if you don't turn and become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you don't have childlike faith, you will not enter heaven. Now, the thing that amazes me about the story, guys, is that Jesus was talking here to his disciples, not to strangers. He was talking to people that knew him, people that loved him, people that followed him. And still he told those people who loved him, like us, you must still repent from your sins and become childlike. In other words, it doesn't matter who we are, a one-day-old child or a mature Christian. Every one of us need to daily commit to the process of turning from our sins, working out our salvation, and becoming more childlike in our faith. So none of us is excused. Listen, you know, I've been in church for 30 years, so I'm okay. I've realized myself, I've been in church for many, many years, but my faith has not been childlike in a big way. And God is saying to us, guys, you must commit to the process of becoming childlike as you keep on working out your salvation. God is in the business of changing us from glory to glory, amen? And from strength to strength. So I think this process is quite important for us. Because Jesus says, without this, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Childlike faith and childlikeness. So just to get practical, I want to just look at, next at a few characteristics of children and take from that lessons which we can learn to make our faith practical, childlike. Okay? And we all know that children are loving. Many of us here are parents. They are loving. Children are innocent and pure. In other words, they are not worldly yet, and the culture has not influenced them yet. And children also don't get offended easily. They are quick to forgive and quick to repent. And the amazing thing is children have short memories. They forgive like this. And I think as adult Christians becoming childlike in our hearts, this is important to take this from children. They don't hold offenses. And how many of us still carry offenses in our hearts for years? They are quick to forgive. So please be quick to forgive. Put it out there and set them free, the people. And then also children are imaginary. They're spontaneous. They're enthusiastic. They're adventurous. Kids are great, man. The kids, like I said earlier, is innocent and pure. Guys, and as children of God, we need to know that we are also innocent before the Father. The blood of Christ was enough for our sins. He washed us clean. We are pure before Him. You cannot earn your acceptance before by God through acceptance or performance. It is just a fact of faith in Christ. His blood sacrifice was enough to clear our conscience of sin. Amen? That is so awesome of children. They are pure, man. They're quick to forgive. They're fun to be around. They're loving. Amen? But obviously, that's not all there is of children. And I want to just look at the next three in a little bit more detail because I felt the Lord showed me these three for us as a church to really chew through, man, and become like this in our faith as children. The first one is children are completely dependent as a characteristic, okay? In other words, children are full of trust, guys. And their dependence is expressed through trust because they need us as parents to do everything for them. Amen? They cannot do anything for themselves. Okay? They need us daily. Okay? And for example, when they're hungry, they expect mom and daddy to give them food. Nowadays, my daughter just runs to the fridge and takes things for herself. But they still expect us to take it out and help them put it in a bowl. But the funny thing for me is kids also, they will just recklessly jump off a high table expecting that you will catch them. Why? Because they trust that you will be there for them. My daughter's like that. She will just run up the stairs and then jump. And I'm going to just jump as well and catch her. But she's got this built-in trust that I will be there for her. They are dependent upon us. And it's expressed through their trust for us as parents. So most children trust people without suspicion and doubt. And for us as children of God, I think we need to have the same level of trust for our Heavenly Father. Because He's so much more better than I am or you are. He's the perfect daddy, amen? And if we are stumbling, He will pick us up again. He will be there at the end of the staircase and He will be there catching us. Amen? And once again, for me, Jesus is the ultimate example in this. Because He also had to depend on His Father throughout His whole lifetime. Jesus lived a childlike life. And you're in John 5. John says, Jesus explained, He says, I tell you truly, the Son can do nothing of Himself, by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Isn't that amazing? Whatever my daddy does, I do the same. When he says something, I'm saying it. Jesus was dependent upon His daddy throughout His lifetime. Amen? And guys, I don't know if you know, but Jesus went through some difficult stuff in His life. From the ridicule and unbelief of His own family and friends. From the disbelief of the Pharisees and the lawgivers of, are you the Messiah? And all the questioning about that. And even the place where He had to die on the cross for me and for you. He had a tough life, man. But amazingly enough, throughout it all, He never gave up His childlike trust in His Father. Because He knew, even in His darkest hour, His dad would be there for Him. And He was there for Him, even when He said, Father, it is finished. His dad was there, taking His spirit in His hands. So Jesus is the ultimate example for us. So this morning, if you are going through a similar difficult situation, know that God the Father is there for you.
He's there close to you. I said earlier, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Just put your faith in him. Just realize, close your eyes and say, Daddy, where are you? He's there close to you. The Holy Spirit is the Paracletos, the one beside us. Amen? He will never leave you. You can depend upon him. You can trust him.
Because he's good. Because he's love. Because he's always for us.
But the thing that is astonishing to me is how different we as adults and mature Christians have become.
We don't trust God completely anymore because because somehow we've made it our aim in life to become more independent.
We somehow have made up the equation that depending God equals to weakness, being weak. And guys, this morning I want to just break that line and say that is not the truth. Depending on God is actually our saving grace. Dependence on God is actually our strength. I mean, the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Hosanna, Hosanna, to God be the glory. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. To trust on God is a good thing. It's a childlike thing. It's the only kind of faith that will get you into heaven is to trust God. Amen? Dependence, dependence. God is calling us to depend. You see, the way up in the kingdom is not up. The way up in the kingdom is going down. It's becoming lowly, becoming humble, it's becoming dependent on our Father for every single thing.
That is childlikeness. But the second thing that also challenged me as I was thinking about my own faith and the childhood within me that was hindered was
that kids have, funny enough, that children have the inability to advance their own life apart from their help, the direction and the resources of their parents. I'm going to say that again. The children have the inability to advance their own life apart from the help and the resources of their parents. In other words, children aren't totally in control of their own lives. Amen? Now, guys, this is a big one because once again, as adults, we are so different. We always want to be in control and we always want to have the final say in our lives. And our culture is bombarding that into us. Listen, you are in control. You are the man. You can decide whatever. But as a child, you are not totally in control of your life. And as a child of God, that is the same for you. So if you want to become more childlike, then Jesus is asking us this morning to give up the control and to start trusting him. And for me, that is, for me, it's such a challenging truth because I always want to figure out, God, what next, where next, how next. And God is saying, Yaku, quiet your soul and trust in me as a child. I'm a good father. I will lead you step by step. If you ask me for a bread, I will not give you a stone. I will give you the good things. Because you're my child. I possess all the resources in heaven and on the earth. So hand over this morning control to God. The questions about where, when, and how. He will lead you beside quiet waters. He will restore your soul. Amen. He's a good shepherd. Amen.
So let's trust him. Let's trust him. Because the truth is there can only be one person in control of your life. He's either Jesus or you. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Let's give him the place of honor and control in our lives by surrendering our independence to him this morning. And let's say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you afresh. Jesus, I'm taking on this new mindset of childlikeness by depending on you for my every single need. Amen?
So don't be afraid to give up control this morning. God is good. And God is there for us. And we can trust him. He's a good father. Amen? So we can depend on him. The second one I want to look at quickly is characteristic that is important for us is that children somehow know how to play. Children can play, man. In other words, children can have fun. They are fun-filled beings. Amen? It's awesome to be around them. And I'm learning this through the hard way, being a parent of only one child. When I come home after a hard day of work, what does my daughter want to do with me? Play. And I tell you, it is so exciting, so awesome. But, you know, I'm praying, God, I'm depending on you here to give me strength and energy. Now. But children want to play. They're the whole time, they always want to have a Mikey here and a friend there to go and just have some fun with. Isn't that true? That is so childlike, guys. Now, the great thing about playing and having fun, just as some facts, that it boosts creativity in our children. And it helps us to think outside of the box. Playing is good. Playing, many times the best place as a child for me was when it was spontaneous. It wasn't planned, it just happened, amen? We ran down the river and get some mud on a stick and you played mud sticks and you dive into the water. It was the biggest fun just to be spontaneous, but it helped me to think outside of the box. That's the way God wants to be with us. Everything can't be so structured and full of laws and things. No, this life and relationship, amen? But more than that, playing and having fun also helps us to become more present in the moment. Because why? Childlike faith is in the now. You see, religion always wants to keep us in the past. What could have been, might have been, should have been. But God's faith is in the now. It is for the now and it's for the future. And if you're going to dwell too long in the past and what could have and should have, you are going to fall into depression, my friend. You're going to get suicidal. And it's time that we go through the waters which God has opened for us, walk through it, let God close it behind us. Seasons come and seasons go. I don't know why I say that, but that is for somebody. Seasons come and seasons go. Close the past and push on to the forward. Paul says, what does Paul say? I've got that now. Slipped my mind. But in Ephesians 3, he says, forgetting the things which are past and pressing forward to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Guys, press forward. Faith is in the now and for the future. We must pull God's promises for our lives into the now through faith. So playing and having fun with God helps us just to be more present. You know, when I play with my daughter, she's not thinking all over there. We are in the moment now here. We laugh and we have a roll and a tickle and all that. And that's so beautiful. And somehow, we've missed it as adults. And Psalm 37 verse 4 is an amazing scripture from David. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, funny enough, the word here, delight, is an awesome word. It actually means that we should seek our happiness in God, in His being, in His perfection, in His friendship, and in His love. And guys, why is this? And sorry. Now, this may be new for some of us, that we must delight ourselves in God, that we must find our happiness in Him. And why is this new to us? Because I really believe that God wants to come and teach us as a church again how to play with Him. He wants to break off all the shackles of religion and stuff off our lives. He wants us to start having fun with our daddy, amen? And why is that important? Because, guys, joy and laughter is a big deal with God. Joy and laughter is a big bit of the kingdom. In Romans 14, Paul says that a third of the kingdom is supposed to be love, joy. A third of the kingdom. Romans 14 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a big deal with our daddy. But unfortunately, this has become very foreign to us because we've been so, for many years, influenced by religion. That we've become so serious and still in God's presence that we're thinking that is the right way. To become serious and trust God, that's the way. But David says, no, I want to delight in the Lord. And when I make God my happiness, my joy in life, He will take care of the rest. Isn't that a Matthew 6 principle as well? When we first seek the kingdom, He will look after us and all the other things. Delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Make Him your focus, make Him your happy place. Let His being, His perfection, His love, His friendship be your happiness. Amen? And guys, as a church, I think this is so important for us, especially in Hermanus. Because just think about this. Do you think an unsaved person will join our church if we are very serious? And we can't express the joy and abundant love that God gave us through Jesus Christ? Do you think they're going to join us? No. They're not. You see, joy is contagious. Joy is like a magnet. It will attract people. They will find out, look, what is going on there? And let me ask you this. To which party will you go? If you're a child here this morning, to which party will you go? To a party where you must be serious and sit still? Or a party where you can play and have fun? It's obvious. We will choose the one where we can play and have fun. And as a visitor here, you will be the same. But we are the image of God upon the earth as people, as children, amen? And if our faces can't reflect the joy of God, then how are people going to see God in us? Yes, the love is true, but God, the unsaved want to see God's love and joy and happiness in us, amen? That will give them a reason for the hope that we had within us to defend our faith with, amen? That will pull them into questions for us. So guys, it's so important to become childlike by having fun with God and enjoy Him again. By delighting ourselves in God again. Because He is supposed to be our delight, the one that makes us happy. Amen? Children are dependent and children know how to play. And I'm asking you to go to God in this week and God, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, for me, how do I play with You? And He will show you different things. Again, guys, there's no law here. There's no formula here. It's between you. It's a place of intimacy. He will show you to lie on the ground or roll around or do something funny that He will enjoy and you will enjoy. But play with our dad. He is joy. Amen? He created laughter and fun. And we can learn from children to become like that. Then the last one I'm going to look at today is, for us, is that children are hungry to learn. The picture is just a joke. But they are hungry to learn, guys. In other words, children have got a childlike heart is a teachable heart. Because children are always eager to learn new things. Amen? All the teachers will say no at this moment. Dawn and these people will say, I must tell them the same thing 40 times. But research has shown, for me, interesting enough, research has shown, something I read or heard as a friend, research has shown that children before the age of 7 learn much more than a student at university does. So children's capacity to learn new things is incredible, guys. They're like sponges. They suck up everything. You can tell them, come here, I want to show you something. And they will run there and you can explain it, even if it's true or false. Children are like, they suck alles op wat jy wil gee. And they always ask a million questions. Isn't that true? My daughter, when we drive in the car down somewhere, she always, Daddy, what's that? Why is that there? You know, it's just like, why? I'm like, God, I need the Holy Spirit. So, every day. They bombard you with Christ, but they want to learn. They're so open for new things. And I think there's a lesson for us as Christians as well. Now, Peter says here in 1 Peter 2, he says, so get rid of every kind of evil and every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Think of the disciples. Who is the greatest God, the competition among us? Let's lay that down. Let's lay those evil things down. He says, but rather desire God's pure word as newborn babies desire milk. Then you will grow in your salvation since you have certainly tasted that the Lord is good. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Desire God's word like babies desire for milk. And I tell you, when a baby is hungry, it is seriously hungry. It starts crying and do all funny things. And guys, important for us to know that hunger is a sign of good health. When I was dying in the hospital, I didn't have an appetite to eat. And just by looking at that natural fact, I knew, listen, there's something wrong with my body. But being hungry is a very good sign of health. And all the moms with little boys that knows that's the truth. Boys somehow just eat everything that they can see. Even the dog pellets and all that. They just go for it. Girls are a bit more fuzzy, I found out. They do eat, but they eat for quality, eh? For the quality things. Boys just go for it all. But Lord, guys, the same is true for us as Christians. If we lose our spiritual hunger, something is also wrong. Then you can know that somewhere you are spiritually sick. We can't live off daily devotionals every single day. Sorry to say that. It's time to get into the Word of God, people. It's time to read the Word of God. Time to get to Bible school and ask your questions and let the Word transform your life. Amen? We cannot know everything about God. Nobody of us has got absolute knowledge of God, but we can know something of God. Amen? And we can grow in that revelation. Amen? So please, let's push into God because a childlike heart is a heart that is hungry for the Word of God. Amen? A childlike God is a God, a heart that is hungry for the Word of God. Can the band come up and can they maybe just dish out the communion? Then we're going to almost wrap up here. The band, Carmen, and... the leaders, just the communion. They can just, please give it to the people as they sit, and then we can use it later on. Now, the second thing for me that is interesting, that, and please listen to this. This is quite, for me, quite new, was where children love to learn is I found out that there's only certain things that will be revealed to the childlike. What do I mean by that? Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11. He says, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. He says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves to be wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. So, church, in childlikeness is a key for us in opening up our eyes to the kingdom around us. It's a key to revelation, childlike faith. It's not those who think they are clever and wise, those claim to know. Have all knowledge? No. It's those who are trusting upon God. It's those who are childlike. That God's listening, I will show in them the secrets of my kingdom. And then Jesus said here in Matthew 21, look at this. He says, then the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that the Lord had did and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna! Son of David, they were crying and they said to him, don't you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read the word? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. The Bible says perfect praise. So guys, here we've got a situation where Jesus was ministering in the temple, miracles are taking place, revival is happening there. And the children are running around freely once again around Jesus, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the religious guys, those who think they are wise and clever, come and listen to Jesus, don't you hear what they're saying about you? Jesus is like, yeah, it's obvious, man. Why are you bothered? And the amazing thing to me here, guys, is the song that the kids sang. In that is a revelation. And they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David. Now, the word Hosanna is made up of two words. You can write this down. It means, the first of all, Hos means to save or to rescue. And Anna in the Greek and the Hebrew means or urgent or now. So, Hosanna means save now. Save urgently now. So, the kids were saying, Hosanna, save now, save now, save urgently now, God. But the second part, they also sang Son of David. Now, the Son of David was a recognition to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. One of his prophetic words that pointed to him as the Messiah or the Christ. So just think of this. While Jesus was ministering in the temple, it was the children. Children were the only ones who recognized who Jesus really was by singing, Messiah, save now! Messiah, save now! It wasn't those who knew the law or were clever that said that. It wasn't even, guys, his disciples that said it. You know, the disciples for me are so amazing. The disciples walked with him for 3 years, but they couldn't recognize him many times who he were. He will calm the storms and they will ask, but who's this guy that speaks to the storm? Who's this guy that walks on water? Who's this guy that feeds the multitude with two fish and five bread? They couldn't even see many times. He had to tell them plainly, listen here, I'm the Son of the living God. And still they ran away from him when he was crucified. Isn't that amazing? But it was the children, guys. The children that saw who Jesus was by shouting, Messiah, save now. Jesus, you're the one, save now. Crying out a prophetic message. So listen to everybody around us. He's the one we're all looking for. The Son of David. So for in this, there's a clue for us, guys, that it is the childlikeness takes the scales of our eyes and allow us to see what is in front of us. It is childlikeness that will unveil us to see Christ standing before us. It's not those who are prideful and with the attitude of know-it-all. No, it's the humble in heart that will recognize when Christ comes back for His church. Because their eyes will be opened and they will be the one and say, Messiah, save now. Amen? Can we all stand?